All right, so your assessment, first and foremost, the team that you had pegged to be this year's national champ, it just goes to show you, you got to be ready to go each and every Saturday. And I saw something in South Carolina on Saturday, and I go back to when they played Alabama back in September. You know, instead of, you know, trying for seven every time, if they had settled for field goals, they would have been had an opportunity to be within one score of Alabama in the third quarter of that game. Back in September, I go back to the way this game played out on Saturday. Major props there to Will Muschamp in South Carolina, the way they were able to get this job done on Saturday.
Yeah, they played well. Like you mentioned, against Alabama, they had a couple of hiccups, but by and large played well in that game too, and that was Helinski's first SEC start. So, yeah, I mean, South Carolina played well. Their defensive front is very underrated. And so, you know, they got the job done, and got Jake Fromm to make mistakes, some uncharacteristic mistakes, which, you know, obviously, you know, some of those weren't on Jake, the interception in overtime, most specifically, but, yeah, South Carolina is a pretty good football team, and to have, you know, Helinski go out, what was that, midway through the third quarter and have Kerryon
right.
Joyner come in, that tells you a lot about the culture and the team that Will Muschamp's built, because they don't quit and they don't, you know, especially that game, variables happen and they dealt with those extremely well. And I think that falls on Muschamp and credit to him for the job he's done.
Another thing that really stands out to me, now you can say, okay, who have they played to this point, but with what Wisconsin has done so far in their first six games, four shutouts. It's the second fewest points ever over the last 40 years by a team in their first six games. Only Florida State, in their national championship year, they allowed only 24 points through their first six. Here's Wisconsin, has allowed only 29 points, four shutouts so far in their six wins. And look, they're going to have some opportunities to prove themselves. You know, you got Ohio State down the road, Penn State as well. But, I mean, the bottom line is Wisconsin in perfect shape right now to accomplish everything that they wanted to before the season started.
Yeah, I don't care who you play. Four shutouts are four shutouts. I mean, that is remarkable. And really, I mean, you could count the Michigan game almost in that category too, because they scored 14 points. But anybody that watched that game knows those are 14 garbage points. So, Wisconsin has put itself in a position where it should not be treated like it was 2 years ago when it was just not a cute little undefeated story. That team right now, with what Jonathan Taylor can do and with the decisions that Jeff – I mean, go back and watch that game. I know the numbers don't bear it out. That offense could have done whatever it wanted to do last week, and they just decided to take their foot off the gas when they did. It's just a masterpiece in terms of what to watch defensively. That's a legit football team. I would love to see that team paired up with one of the SEC's high octane offenses in a bowl game. And luckily for us, because of the way the schedule works out, we are going to get to see them play Ohio State, because, I'm fascinated with Wisconsin. I can't wait to see what happens if they do have to score points, what they will try to do. Because I do think there's a lot left in that tank that we haven't seen yet.
It could be a situation. I know that Wisconsin and Ohio State, they will see each other the last Saturday of this month. It could be the first of two meetings, because at this point, I don't know if Wisconsin gets tripped up more than once in the stretch run. You know, they have Illinois, then they're at Illinois, at Ohio State, bye week, and then the month of November, they're at home against Iowa, at Nebraska, home against Purdue, and then they'll wrap up the regular season at Minnesota, which, oh, by the way, they're one of the surprise teams. They're 6-0 right now as well. But given the choice of Ohio State's schedule and what they're doing in their division, looking at Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin's certainly in a better position, especially if they can beat Ohio State the end of October, for Wisconsin to be undefeated going into the Big Ten Conference Championship game.
Yeah, if they beat Ohio State, I think they will be. And, you know, they could stumble, obviously. I mean, Minnesota's better than people expected. And I think Iowa still has the capability of being dangerous. But, yeah, the schedule sets up really well. I mean, when you have you and I both know, and neither of us are big Michigan folks, but when you draw Michigan and Ohio State out of the Big Ten East, that's a pretty tough Big Ten schedule for a West Division team. They've already got Michigan, you know, out of the way. They look phenomenal. I'm with you. I think they play Ohio State twice this year. It wouldn't surprise me if they found a way to split those games. And depending on when they do, that could mean a whole lot in terms of the college football playoff.
Hey, by the way, I saw this floated out, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I'm looking at the Big Ten and seeing how this could be implemented there as well. Instead of having divisions, because I look at the Big Ten, and even when they put this together, knowing that the East has Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, and then you compare that to the West, especially since Nebraska on a national scale hasn't been relevant, but you got Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin, and then, you know, pick your best of the four, which is not really saying much. It was always, to me, so heavily on the East side, just like we've seen over the last 10-plus years with the SEC West. I'm not opposed to having it, forget about divisions, you know, go 1 through 14, have, you know, three permanent opponents, and then do the round robin as far as every 2 years with the remaining teams.
I'm fine with that. And really, I mean, to think back, that was sort of the philosophy with Legends and Leaders, was to get away from geography in terms of divisions, because geography should not ever determine, you know, if a team's championship worthy or not. So that was the idea behind Legends and Leaders, but they decided to go back to geography anyway when people laughed at them, which I, you know, the names were silly. The idea wasn't and still isn't. But I'm with you. The, you know, doing away with divisions, as long as you can get a waiver and have a championship game, I don't see what the criticism for that would be. I don't see why anybody would be opposed to that, because like I said, geography does not determine anything other than where you're located on a map. And if you're determining, you know, championship worth based on geography, then you're not really doing your job all that well. So I'm with you. I would love to see that happen. I'd love to see that happen in the SEC. I'd love to see it happen everywhere. I am 100% on board with team no divisions. And, you know, sometimes that could hurt you. I think in the Big 12, that will happen at some point. Hasn't happened, you know, yet, but that doesn't matter. If I want conference championship weekend to matter, I want it to matter because of the two best teams, not, you know, teams that are pretty good but might not be great just because they win a geographically determined division.
I mean, I look at, you know, good example, two games in the SEC on Saturday. You had Tennessee with Mississippi State. You had Kentucky with Arkansas. I mean, think about it. You could be born today, and between now and you graduating high school, you may, depending if, especially if that team came to your house last year, for example, you may only see one of the SEC teams, for example, a Mississippi State if you're Tennessee, only once before you graduate high school if you were born today. There's something wrong with the system when we have it like this.
No doubt. I mean, and look what happened 2 weeks ago, Auburn and Florida. A, it was a great game, obviously, with national ramifications. But B, I'm 39 years old. I went to Auburn. I know how much that game meant to people. Like, that was a huge rivalry, an absolutely enormous rivalry. And, you know, to see it only played, you know, once every 10 years or 7 years, whatever the rotation is, that sucks. I mean, it really does suck because, you know, these players need to feel intensity like that. These players need to have games against teams that they're not familiar with. And fans, I mean, that's what we crave. We don't want to see the same stuff over and over again. I want to see, if I was in charge of everything, I would 100% do away with divisions and just have two permanent teams or three permanent teams or whatever and rotate everybody else. Everybody be happy. You get an actual champion. And all would be well. I don't see why that's so hard.
And I'll give you an example of what we're talking about. If, like I said, if that team had come last year, you'll see them only once between now and when you graduate high school, compared to making the change, have three permanent opponents, and then the other 10 teams, for example, in the SEC, they're not of your three permanent opponents. You'll see that team twice in a four-year period of time, once on the road, once at home, every 4 years. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with this? Nothing.
There's nothing. Well, my son right now is 8. He's going to watch Auburn play Florida one time before he gets to college.
There you go.
That's stupid.
Yep. All right, so tell me, who's the number one team in the country right now based on what you've seen so far through the first six contests, through the first 7 weeks?
I've got Alabama. I think they're, you sort of just take them for granted right now, and that's not fair, and that's not the way it should be. That is a really good football team that has taken its foot off the gas consistently, that had a really good defensive performance on Saturday where it got to the quarterback five times. They had 10 sacks coming into this game total. So you combine that with what they're able to do offensively, an offensive line that's really, really good and has gotten better throughout the course of the season, and, you know, the best receiving core in the country. Let's not try to outthink the room. It's Alabama. No, they haven't been perfect, but yes, they are viewed at a different standard than everybody else. So, you know, Ohio State's complete. They look awesome. LSU looks great too. The defense might not be as good as it need as it has been, but they're still great. Oklahoma played some defense last week, which is great to see. But, you know, Alabama is Alabama, and I think a lot of the criticism of the Tide, specifically on the defensive side, is a little bit misguided. They gave up some points and some yards in garbage time, maybe too many for Nick Saban that he would like. But they play great defense. They fixed the problem last week. I think it's basically fixed from here on out. I just don't see why Alabama is not number one in everybody's ballot.
By the way, the team that I don't know how many folks had them to be number one in the SEC East right now, they're by themselves. Missouri. Everybody else looking up. And here's the thing. Missouri, when you look at their schedule, all they have to do is find a way to get by either Georgia or Florida on November 9th or 16th. And I think it will be Missouri playing for the SEC title come December.
Yeah.
They don't have to win both. They don't have to win both.
They don't have to win both. They have to win one. You're right. And they certainly are capable of winning one of those, especially, I mean, because neither of those teams are reliable, in my opinion. I mean, I think they're good. But after what we saw from Georgia, you know, Georgia's not reliable. And so, that's a realistic possibility, which is not something I expected when they lost to Wyoming earlier this year.
When I was asked the question back in July, take Alabama, Georgia, or take the field, I went the field only because I just felt like the East was going to be the issue because of Missouri's easy schedule, knowing they get Ole Miss and Arkansas from the West, and knowing how tough Georgia's two opponents from the West and Florida's same situation. I just felt like Missouri was going to find a way to get in through the back door because of the easy two games in the West.
Yep, I agree. I didn't necessarily agree with Missouri, but I looked at that schedule and we talked about it. You know, Missouri at this, we thought they'd beat Wyoming, but aside from that, you could sit there and say, okay, by November, they're going to be undefeated and we'll have no idea if they're good or not. And that's the way the schedule has worked out. And I still think that sort of philosophy and mindset still exists. I think they're pretty good. You probably think they're good too. Others might disagree. Whether we agree or disagree, they're still going to be in it because of the way the schedule works out.
When Oregon lost to Auburn back during Labor Day weekend, I thought, watch out for Oregon, because I really felt like they were going to run the table the rest of the way, win the Pac-12 conference title game and all that. But the problem, and you can see it, especially when we start getting the weekly poll from the College Football Playoff Committee, that even with wins each and every Saturday, they're not beating anybody ahead of them. Everybody will be below them at best and usually not ranked at all. Whereas when, you know, each and every week we look at Alabama, who they still have remaining, and the same thing, you just keep going down the list. And that's the problem when Oregon is your bell cow there and everybody else is looking up to you.
Yeah, especially considering, but the thing is Oregon has been complete. I mean, you go back and watch their defense. Their defense hasn't given up double digits this year outside of Auburn. And so that's a problem when you can't tout Oregon as being a good team and yet everything that they've done suggests that they are, then that's a problem with the conference. But I think Oregon's going to be all right. I think they're going to run the table. And if the chips fall the way you don't need a lot of dominoes to fall if you're Oregon, even though the conference power is not doing you any favors, you don't necessarily need a whole lot to break your way to make the playoffs. If you went out, especially the way they've been playing lately.
How many teams do you have unbeaten through their 12 games this year? And not necessarily who they are, because it could come down to either Alabama, LSU, or Ohio State, Wisconsin, one or the other. How many you feel like is going to be able to run the table at this point?
I mean, everyone would say four, right? But I'm sorry, three. That would be the obvious answer that everybody says. The winner of Alabama, LSU, and then Clemson, and then Oklahoma or Ohio State. So you could easily say four. That's not how college football works.
Nope. Clemson will find a way to mess it up somewhere down the road where they start flirting with disaster again when they're favored by three touchdowns. But
we had three undefeated teams in the playoff last year, and that was the anomaly.
Right.
Right? So I know those are probably the best teams in the country. If I had to guess right now, if any of those fall, I would say you're going to probably have two undefeated. I think you're going to have – if I had to guess which two lose, I would guess Clemson and I would guess Oklahoma with Alabama/LSU and then Ohio State both being undefeated.
As long as Auburn plays well on the road against Arkansas this Saturday after the bye week, I still like my prediction back in July where I have Auburn, and it's a combination of two things here. The fact that LSU has to play Florida, then travel to Mississippi State before they get Auburn at home to wrap up this month. And for Auburn, to me, I think they, as long as they play like something similar we saw against Mississippi State, for example, I still like Auburn's chances to go into Baton Rouge and beat LSU.
I don't think they can run the football effectively, especially without Booby Whitlow. And I don't think their offensive line's all that great. And I don't think that Gus Malzahn has called plays in the way that has benefited Bo Nix. So I think defensively they can certainly challenge LSU, but we saw what LSU's defense did to a really good Florida defense last week. And if that's any indication of the kind of game that it would be against Auburn, Auburn's got no shot.
By the way, Florida, I look at that game on Saturday night against LSU. They actually led 28-21 in that game. The difference, of losing by 14 or being tied going into overtime is the fact that two series, Florida inside the red zone, one deep at the end where it's turnover on downs, but the one before that, the key interception there, and that's the difference. That's the difference between a overtime thriller and LSU, winning, going away with the 14-point lead.
Well, I agree to a point. I think the biggest turn came, though, when they put Emory Jones, when Dan Mullen tried to outthink the room and put Emory Jones in for a full drive after LSU had tied it up.
Yeah, what are you doing there? What is he doing there in that situation?
Dan Mullen is an offensive genius, which is his greatest asset, but Dan Mullen knows that Dan Mullen is an offensive genius, which is also his greatest fault.
And if you don't believe us, just ask him, right?
Dan Mullen.
Yep. All right, so look, this is that month where we – and by the way, I saw an interesting stat, and it still holds true. I didn't get a chance to get to it on my Saturday Countdown to Kickoff tailgate show, but the two teams in the month of October over the last 3 years, they're unbeaten. There's only two Power Five conference teams. One is the easy answer, and that being, of course, Alabama. But the other one, Iowa State. Iowa State, with their win on Saturday – they're now 9-0 in the month of October over the last 3 years. Alabama now 7-0 after their win against A&M. The only two unbeaten teams in the month of October as far as from Power Five conferences.
You could have given me 20, 25 different guesses, and I would have never landed on that.
I never would have come up with Iowa State. I never would have come up with Iowa State, honestly. When I saw that, I thought, that's just too good. And that's when I was like pulling for Iowa State to win on Saturday so it would still be relevant.
There you go. Good for Matt Campbell. That's a huge compliment to him.